That's our noon hour look at WILL News. Our next report this afternoon at 4:30 during All Things Considered. And you can always find WILL News online at will.illinois.edu.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from Christie Clinic, offering convenient care to treat life's unexpected, non-emergency conditions. Christie Clinic convenient cares are located in Champaign, Urbana, and Danville with weekend and extended hours. More information is at ChristieClinic.com.
An area of low pressure stretching from central Iowa southwest into Texas is tracking northeast into the Midwest. As a result, the region will see scattered showers and thunderstorms. Gusty winds and hail could accompany the stronger storms this afternoon and evening. The frontal boundary will stall out near or just south of the area, causing unsettled weather to linger into tomorrow and Thursday. Highs today will range from the mid-60s in northern Iowa to the low 80s in central and southern Illinois. Low temperatures tonight will range from the mid-30s in central Wisconsin to the low 60s along the Ohio River. The forecast for east central Illinois this afternoon, partly sunny with a chance of showers and thunderstorms. Look for a high of 82. The wind from the southwest at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a chance of evening showers and thunderstorms. There's a chance of showers and a slight chance of thunderstorms after midnight. The low tonight, 50. The wind out of the north from 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow, partly sunny with a slight chance of morning showers. It will be cooler. The high, 65. The wind from the northeast around 15 miles per hour with gusts to around 25. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy with a chance of showers after midnight. We'll see a low in the low 40s. The wind from the northeast at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Thursday, partly sunny with a high in the upper 50s. The wind will be out of the northeast around 15 miles per hour with gusts to around 25 miles per hour. Thursday night and Friday, mostly clear. Expect a low Thursday night in the upper 30s and the high Friday in the low 60s. At noon central time, temperatures across Illinois and Indiana ranged from the upper 60s to 80, most locations reporting sunshine. At Rockford, 70. At O'Hare, 65. 78 degrees at Bloomington, 79 at Mattoon. Carbondale reported 74 degrees. 68 degrees at South Bend. In Lafayette, 78. Indianapolis, 75. Terre Haute, 80. Willard Airport reported 80 degrees at the top of the hour. The sky, mostly sunny. The dew point, 60. The relative humidity, 50%. The wind out of the west at 8. The barometric pressure, 29.88 and steady. And at 1240, 79 degrees in Urbana on the campus of the University of Illinois. Neighbors is a series of stories about people in Champaign and Vermilion counties and the neighborhoods they call home. Visiting people in their homes, people talk with us about what they value in their neighborhoods and their concerns about community well-being. Sound and strong neighborhoods are one sign of the overall health and well-being of the larger community. Here's the second in our series.
My name is Gloria Thompson Brown. I've moved to Danville in December of 1963 from the state of Florida.
Gloria has lived in the neighborhood she calls home since 1994.
This is what they call the old part of Danville, and what I mean by that, Danville started from this area.
Gloria, her husband, Huey Lee Brown, and two of her grown children live in a house they rent on Robinson Street. Ask her about her home, and she lights up. She likes the backyard and the enclosed front and back porches, and she loves the fireplace. Family photos and mementos are proudly displayed on the mantel. They rent the house through Section 8, which is essentially a voucher program administered by public housing agencies to eligible people with very low incomes.
I think I stayed in public housing 22 years, and then a program called Operation Bootstrap, you pull yourself up by your own bootstrap, so to speak, enabled me to become a participant in the Section 8 program, and that was in 1989.
While she lived in public housing and raised her children, Gloria worked for the Housing Authority.
I started to work in the office. It was Carver Park Housing, and I became the community services advisor on staff there. And that gave me a broad spectrum of knowledge on both sides of the fence as a resident and as a Danville employee. I feel so well educated, if I might say that, in speaking on housing issues.
Today, Gloria Thompson Brown is the Resident Services Coordinator at Green Meadows Apartments, a privately owned low-income housing complex.
And one of my main jobs is to bring as many on-site services that's conducive to the families there in that area. Residents have the right to live in safe, sanitary, and decent living conditions.
Gloria is also an advocate for her neighbors and her neighborhood. Gloria's neighbors get together and talk to the city about their concerns, which have included dilapidated housing and prostitution. They may also write letters to the editor. Gloria says as a result, prostitution has been greatly reduced and problem properties cleared. She's been in the neighborhood for about 16 years now. The neighbors feel comfortable calling on one another, lending one another a hand when needed. They keep an eye out for one another and the safety of the neighborhood. When her husband's bicycle was stolen, a neighbor saw it and returned it. Gloria can count on neighbors to help shovel snow or give her a lift if she needs a ride. Another of her neighbors
that has some young sons who know that my husband and I love fish. They go fishing sometime and they'll drop fish off for us if they don't want to clean them. They know we'll clean them and eat them too.
Gloria Thompson Brown of Danville. Her story for Neighbors was produced and reported by Crystal King. For more about the series and to listen again, visit willconnect.org. This is the Afternoon Magazine. It's 12:44. Rapid growth in the U.S. Hispanic community has created another boom in Hispanic media. In recent months, several major media players have announced plans to join the competition for the Hispanic television audience. There's a new Hispanic broadcast TV network coming, plus a host of new cable channels aimed at Latinos. As NPR's Greg Allen reports, they are not all in Spanish.
The numbers tell the story. According to the census, the U.S. Hispanic population jumped by more than 40% in the last decade. The nation's 50 million-plus Hispanics now make up 16% of the television viewing public, and those numbers are expected to grow. Univision is already the nation's fourth-largest network. It hits number one in some markets and time slots. 4 years ago, the network's growing clout was recognized when it hosted both the Democratic and Republican candidates in primary debates. This year, Newt Gingrich and Mitt Romney sat down for extended interviews in a candidate forum hosted by Univision anchor Jorge Ramos.
We just released a poll, a Univision poll, that says that if you were to run against President Barack Obama, he would beat you easily with a Hispanic vote. You wouldn't even get 25%. You would lose the general election. No?
Just wait. We'll get that quote out there where you say I'm Mexican-American. I'll do a lot better.
On Univision, that interview was broadcast with a simultaneous Spanish translation.
Historically, Univision was Spanish first and Spanish only, and they were adamant about that.
Roberto Orsi, the CEO of Acento Advertising in Los Angeles, says that's beginning to change. Univision recently began broadcasting its primetime telenovelas with English subtitles, something competitor Telemundo has done for years. It recognizes changes in the Hispanic population shown in the census. Over the last decade, most of the growth in the Latino population came not from immigration, but from births, kids born and now being raised in the U.S. Market research shows only about a fifth of U.S. Hispanics now prefer Spanish-language programming on TV. The rest, some 80% of the Latino population, are bilingual or prefer English. Helen DeJesus is a good example. She's bilingual, a second-generation Cuban-American who lives in a Miami suburb.
I don't watch Spanish channel, and in a way that's a bad thing, because I should, especially for my son.
DeJesus says watching Hispanic TV growing up helped her sharpen her Spanish language skills. But she's part of a growing Latino population that's moving to English language TV. Roberto Orsi says that trend is sending a clear message to Hispanic broadcasters.
We have to appeal to them in culture, but in the language of their preference. And a lot of the bilingual Hispanics watch English language television and Spanish language television. So you want to be able to reach them where they are.
Orsi greets as good news recent reports that Univision is in talks with Disney to develop an English language all-news channel aimed at Hispanics. It's one of several new cable channels for Latinos planned by Univision and other media companies. Cable operator Comcast recently announced plans for two new channels, including one that will be run by movie director Robert Rodriguez. It also will be in English. It joins competitors already out there, like Nuevo TV, an English language channel aimed at a young, bicultural Latino audience. The number two Spanish network, Telemundo, is part of NBC Universal. It's long made English part of its programming, both in the use of Spanglish and in subtitles for telenovelas, like Una Maid in Manhattan.
No es bueno tragarse los corajes. Es mejor sacarlos. Contigo? No.
Telemundo Chief Operating Officer Jacqueline Hernandez says reaching Hispanics is about more than language. It's also about their culture. Her network's telenovelas, she says, recognize that.
They're created in the U.S. for the U.S. Hispanic audience, and they reflect the world that we live in. So it's a great draw and attraction for the bicultural audience.
Anticipating the move toward a younger bilingual audience, several years ago, Telemundo launched a cable channel, Mundos. The channel's name is written M-U-N with the number 2 after it, Mundos in Spanish. It features several bilingual programs, including a reality show with Mexican pop singer Jenny Rivera.
She's coming to a hood near you, taking shots of tequila with you. Yeah, she's a superstar, but she goes so hard. Go, Jenny.
Telemundo's Jacqueline Hernandez.
We do a show about her life, and it takes place in Long Beach, and it's in English because she and her family, that's how they roll, and they speak English at home. And so the show will have English with a little Spanglish, but it's really authentic.
In one show last season, Rivera operates a taco truck.
I am a hardworking Mexican-American woman who can make excellent records and excellent tacos.
Now the two Hispanic networks, Telemundo and Univision, are getting a new competitor. Fox, which already operates three Hispanic cable channels, this fall plans to launch Mundo Fox, a Spanish-language TV network. The network, which is working now to sign up station affiliates, will draw programming from some of Fox's Spanish-language cable channels. But CEO of Fox International Channels, Hernan Lopez, says he expects the new network's strongest draw will be action dramas, shows that he thinks will have broader appeal than traditional telenovelas.
We were presented it as a Latino network with an American attitude. It is in Spanish, but with the level of quality that viewers are used to in American television.
Lopez says the network may be including closed caption English subtitles on some programs. Advertising executive Roberto Orsi says it wasn't that long ago that many in the industry thought the future of Hispanic television was limited. As immigrants settled in, it was supposed they'd assimilate. And over a generation or two, Latinos would leave Hispanic programming for the mainstream media. But rather than assimilating, Orsi says, U.S. Hispanics have acculturated.
Which means we take the best of the American culture that we came to adopt and love, and we keep the best of our culture that we value. And so you have this hybrid American that is very proud and happy to be an American, but is very proud and happy to have his culture that makes him unique or her unique.
The competition for a rapidly growing Hispanic bicultural market is happening not just in television, but also in radio, social media, the web, and mobile platforms. For media companies looking to grow, Hispanics now look less like a niche market and more like the future. Greg Allen, NPR News, Miami.
This fall, visit England and Wales, locations made famous in Last of the Summer Wine, Downton Abbey, and more, including Agatha Christie's home on the coast of South Devon. Does American history suit you? Well, travel in private vintage train cars on our Civil War train. This September's itinerary includes important southern battlefields and discussions with historian Anthony Pitch. Information is at will.illinois.edu/willtravel or call 217-333-7300.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Tuesday. It's the 3rd of April, 2012. The first truly portable personal computer was released on this date, 1981, went on sale, the 25-pound Osborne 1, sold by the Osborne Computer Company, had two floppy drives, a 5-inch screen, and it was a big success, sold 10,000 units a month. The Pony Express began mail delivery on this day, 1860, between Sacramento and St. Joseph, Missouri. The couriers carrying a pouch of mail, newspapers, 1,800 miles in 10 days. It only lasted for a year, and then a telegraph line was completed between California and Missouri, and the horses found something else to do. It was on this date, 1882, the outlaw Jesse James was shot in the back of his head at his home in Missouri by a member of his own gang, Bob Ford, who did it for the reward, $10,000. It's the birthday of Washington Irving, New York City, 1783. He tried to publicize his book, A History of New York from the Beginning of the World to the End of the Dutch Dynasty, by pretending that it was written by a man named Dietrich Knickerbocker. And he put out missing person notices, and he posed as Knickerbocker's landlord and threatened to publish the manuscript to cover the back rent. The reading public in 1809